The Buzz on CliffCentral.com.
And we're here. It's The Buzz on CliffCentral.com. Welcome to it, everybody. Hello.
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 Hello. Hi. Bonjour. Ça va? Ça va bien?
Ça va bien.
Good. I mean...
I love it. You're just very well, kind of mixing all the languages in there.
German, French.
Afrikaans.
Afrikaans, yeah. We're obviously talking about French because France is trending at the moment with the Cannes Film Festival.
Yes. Well, the Cannes is still going on. They had the Amphar Gala last night, which was amazing. And of course, all the celebs were out in full force. Lots of leg, lots of boob, lots of ass. It seems to be the trend though now. I mean... You know?
Boob and ass.
It's almost like, how high can those slits even go?
Sure.
That's my question. I mean, they get higher and higher every year.
I just sort of feel like they're going to eventually have just a safety clip here, sort of in front of the bra, sort of in front of the boob area, and just like double-sided tape.
Well, Kim's been kind of doing that for years, as is Rihanna. I mean, let's be honest, Rihanna doesn't leave much to the imagination at the best of times. Mm. So, yeah. Oh, I'm not complaining.
Because I saw that Bella Hadid's dress as well on the red carpet.
Yes.
And so everybody's
so
in case.
Bella just, I mean, she really, she might as well have been wearing nothing.
Pretty much.
Really?
Just like a little loincloth. That's what she's wearing.
Sure. Okay.
But she was sexy. I won't.
But she definitely rocks a hot body. If you've got it, flaunt it, right?
True that.
Did you see Blake Lively?
Oh, she got into trouble. Did you see that?
She did. I saw that.
She was talking about her Oakland booty. And everybody was like, sorry, no, that's racist. You shouldn't be saying stuff like that. But I think she looks incredible. I'm a big Blake Lively fan. I love her.
Amazing.
I think she's gorgeous.
I love Julia Roberts when she went barefoot. I thought that was great.
That was last week, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And Mrs. Wright, what's it called? What's the movie called?
So it's Mrs. Wright Guy.
That's it. Okay.
So that was the premiere last night, and that also had a simultaneous screening in Cannes at the same time with the NFVF. And Mrs. Wright Guy, starring Dineo Moketsi, Tapelo Mokoena, and directed by Adze, who actually was my director on Isbaya as well. And he was at the time telling me all about this movie. I'm like, wow. And he's like, what do you think? You know, I'm like, I think it's great. You know, go for it. And I'm so happy that he has done so much with it. Mm. And the event was great last night. It was very well attended. There's a lot of people there.
I'm sure. I mean, like you said, Danae and Tapelo are obviously two of the big stars in that film, but there's a whole ensemble cast as well.
Yeah, there's also Thando Tepete. There's many, many who are in this movie, and it's quite fun.
Okay.
It's
and did fun. You watch it?
I watched a little bit of it. I have to say, it's not because I didn't want to watch the rest of it. I do admit I didn't watch the whole thing because I'm not feeling so well. I had to get up and I had to just go to bed.
Well, shame then.
Well,
you don't sound
there were,
terrible.
You know,
you
there were like
great.
Four events last night. I mean, also last night was the AG Mobile with Casper Nyovest.
Okay.
And there was a lot of celebs there too. Kanim Bao, Lian Delmini, Lerato Khanyaho, Denis Naidu, Sivan Gezi, Natasha Tabane. And Casper was giving out cell phones.
Just
like his own design cell phones.
Okay.
They're red at the bottom. Pretty cool, actually.
Very nice.
Yeah. He gave one to DJ Zintley. We even tweeted about it.
Mm. See, these guys are just playing into this whole game. Hey?
It is. Speaking that was like his first guest that he wanted to give it to, I think.
Speaking of that, you know what I think is going to get quite interesting? Is this whole BET nomination thing. Because obviously, who's been nominated? We just take a look at that list. It's AKA.
So BET International Act Africa for the BET Awards, AKA... Casper Nyovest, of course, Black Coffee from South Africa. Then you've got Diamond Platinums from Tanzania.
Yeah.
Mzvi from Ghana. Serge Beno from the Ivory Coast. Wizkid from Nigeria.
He's got a song with Drake, eh? Do you know that?
Yeah.
One Dance.
Pretty cool.
Mm.
And Yemi Alade from Nigeria as well.
So, now here's my little strategic media brain going into overdrive here. And if I was in PR and I wanted to make a big splash, these guys really want the international platform. And when I say these guys, I mean AKA and Wizkid's got the platform, but AKA and Casper Nyovest. How about someone like plant something there at the BET Awards? Because I'm sure both of them will go to LA. And then they cause a little Kanye moment on stage. That way, it's a massive platform. They'll be noticed by the international people. And who knows what may come of that. as a result.
That would
maybe they'll be signed to Def Jam 1 and then to Rockefeller 2. Or Rock, what's Jay-Z's label called?
Rockefeller.
Is it Rockefeller?
I think it is. It is Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe imagine two sides.
It could happen.
And
I
then
mean,
you could have team.
These days, it's the only thing you can do. Either you bare your body or you just go out there and be as outrageous as possible. There
so
seems
Casper
to be only
take,
two ways now.
Casper can take Sintle and AKA can take Bonang. Sounds quite juicy.
It does. It
buzzworthy, I feel. Just let that settle in.
Yeah,
see.
The BET Awards are 26th of June in LA and Tuesday the 28th of June on BET Africa, a screening on BET Africa, which is pretty cool.
Very nice. Cool. And what else has been happening this week? Sure.
It has been a busy week. I sort of feel like everybody's here at the moment. There's lots of events going on. On Tuesday there was, I got to see the Stig in the flesh.
Cool.
He came on stage in his Ferrari and they were actually introducing the new season of Top Gear.
Okay.
So that's going to be starting on the 1st of June on First BBC. So that's really exciting. And there's been, like, the director of Top Gear, he was trying to be very subtle about it and very funny about it. And he said, you know what? We all know Top Gear has been in the headlines for quite a while, but we've got a new cast. They've got a new, well, all the new presenters. They're calling them that Magnificent Seven. I was really, really hoping to see Matt LeBlanc. But
he wasn't there.
No, he wasn't. It was Chris Harris. He was here in the country and in the Stig. So I got my picture taken with the Stig. And they actually filmed an episode here in South Africa as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that went down.
Okay.
But the Stig always has that mask on. I mean, how do you
know
it's actually
the
Stig?
I don't know. I just thought it was. Well, if you think about it, back then they used to say it was Michael Schumacher. But they were very strict about the rules. You weren't allowed to take a selfie with him at all. You had to take a professional photo with him. And I think it's got to do with the flesh. So you couldn't, I don't know, it had to do with his identity. So they're very, very strict about that. And the amazing content.
That's what I mean. I think they don't want you getting too close because you'd actually see who is behind that mask.
And he stood there. And he stood there like very firm like he is, you know, arms folded. And I was just like, okay, how serious can I be standing next to him? And I was like, okay.
Are they doing Top Gear in South Africa again this year?
They didn't mention anything about doing one of those this year.
Oh, so. I saw the very first one. I loved it. It was in Durban at Moses Mabhida Stadium.
Yes.
It was awesome. I love those guys.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a good run for them. Let's see how that goes.
Then you were also at the Mall of Africa.
Oh, my word.
You finally went.
I finally went.
She finally went.
After we kept talking about it, you finally went. Yes.
But I'm going to go again.
Obviously. And spend lots of money.
Yes, because when we arrived, it was for the launch of the IMAX Theatre. So they were just introducing the theatre and I got to see the new X-Men.
Ah, which is in cinemas now, hey?
It's just out now.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually, we got it ahead of the US.
Wow.
It was incredible to see that in the IMAX theatre.
Should we have a listen to what Wanda said?
Yeah, so Wanda is the CEO of Stir Kunikul.
Hey guys, it's Nikita from The Buzz. I'm here at the IMAX at Mall of Africa. So tonight is the launch of IMAX and I'm here with Wanda. He is the CEO of Stir Kunikul. Hi Wanda, how are you?
Hello Nikita, how are you doing?
Very well, and you?
Good, thank you.
So it's quite a turnout. There's so many people here to come
excited.
And see you.
Yeah, very, very, very nice. We're very excited.
So how many people can actually be seated in this IMAX?
364, right?
Sure, that is
exactly.
Massive.
Yeah, so I think about 352 on 3D. And then up to 364, then on 2D.
Word. So it is obviously now with June, July coming up. It's the blockbuster season. So I'm sure the cinema is going to be full to the brim with all these blockbuster movies, starting with tonight, X-Men's Acropolis.
Exactly. So we're not, it's not, it's just a media launch. You know, tonight we opened our doors on the 28th of April. So we've been open for 3 weeks. Of course, you know, just low-key, wanted to make sure that, you know, dot all the T's and, you know, cross all the T's and dot all the I's. So, but, you know, we're quite confident now. And, I mean, the mall, yeah, state of the art. I mean, you can see it, you know, global brands that are here. You know, the foot traffic, I'm told by the mall that, you know, the numbers that they are mentioning, I think it's like over 1.1 million, sure. You know, people coming to the cinema. I believe that in the first week of opening, I think about over 85,000 people an hour were coming to the mall. So it's really big, you know, so, and we're excited.
It is insane. Like, I just actually walked around just before I came into the cinema and I saw the stores and everything's open till 8 o'clock, and I was just like, oh my word, I'm gonna have to make another date, set a couple of hours and set like a day to walk through this mall.
So is it your first time?
It actually is. It's my first time. So I was actually quite impressed.
Isn't it?
It's stunning. The variety of stores, and I was just like, no, you know what, I have to come another day. I was like, I can't be late for this movie. I need to watch this movie tonight.
And make sure that you've got a nice budget as well.
That's the problem.
And make sure that you watch a movie on IMAX again. Really.
Of course.
All your shopping is done.
That's how I'm going to rest. Put my feet up and rest.
Yeah.
Well, Wanda, thank you very much for taking time to chat to me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So what was the movie like?
I'm a big fan of the Marvel stable. And seeing this film, I was blown away. I really was blown away.
Okay.
And Jennifer Lawrence, that girl's a powerhouse, eh? I was going off her a little bit, and in this movie, she hooked me again.
Okay.
As Mystique.
Who's the girl from Game of Thrones? Who's in this one?
Game of Thrones?
I'm sure she's in it.
Oh, the...
The Stark daughter.
I'm not... I think it she might be...
she's in it. She's definitely in it.
I think she played Storm, actually.
Okay.
But the only
Jennifer Lawrence is in it.
Yeah.
So we have her there, and
so it's worth a watch. You reckon?
It was worth a watch, and Michael Fassbender.
Oh yeah, Michael Fassbender. That's
I'm
right.
in
that's
his corner there. I'm in his corner. He's just, you know what?
Bending.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how bad he is as Magneto. I was just like, you know what? I can watch you in more movies.
No.
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn is in it, yes.
Right.
She looks...
Okay.
Remember her from The Newsroom. And she is looking mighty fine. I must say, Jason, go and see that outfit that she wears.
Doit.
Oh, doit. Doit is an understatement, eh? But she looks gorgeous and she plays the role. I wasn't even aware that she was in the movie until I saw the poster, because this is the first time I actually didn't watch the trailer for a Marvel film. And like a diehard fan, we watched right up until the credits ended. A lot of people actually walked out the cinema towards the end, you know, the credits. But you know, Marvel always has a little extra something. Oh, that girl.
Yes.
Sophie Turner. She plays.
Oh, Sophie Turner. Okay.
She actually plays Jean.
Yes.
She plays a young Jean.
There you go.
There's some other good movies to check out, actually, that's just out. Before I Wake, it's a horror movie starring Kate Bosworth and Jacob Tremblay. If you remember, he's like the really little young child actor who was nominated, I think, for an Oscar in Room. And he's also in this movie, Before I Wake. The Man Who Knew Infinity, a biography drama starring Dev Patel, Jeremy Irons, and Toby Jones. And also Mrs. Right Guy, as I said, the local film that's actually, it's actually out next week, but it is a must-see. So I'm going, when it's actually out in the cinemas, I'm going to go again and watch it again.
I'll come and watch it with you, because I thought it was this week.
Well, they had the premiere last night, but the actual movie is out on the 27th, will be next Friday.
Well, that's
for the public.
Makes me happy, yeah. Mm,
so I'm looking forward to really seeing the whole thing, which is really nice. But what I've seen so far has been absolutely amazing. I think it's pretty cool, and you know, especially in the premiere, everybody knew the actors.
Yeah.
So when Dineo comes out, you know, people were screaming and like hooting and like, you know, it was nice. You know, all the different guys are coming. When Tapelo came out, everybody was like, ooh, you know, it's
so
nice.
We're going to get Tapelo on the show. He's just been cast in a new show on SABC3. So we're going to wait until his scenes come out, and then he'll be on The Buzz. I've already arranged it, so that's
excellent.
Coming up. And Dineo, we are hoping to get into studio next week, which will tie in very well, because obviously the movie releases then. So, but we do have some sound from there, which we'll spin a little bit later. But yeah, go and support South African movies. There's a lot of South African film out at the moment. Eh? I think it's incredible. It's great.
What do you think? I mean, 90% music, South African. So what about 90% of the movies? That might be interesting.
Well,
at least more local films. You know what? I think it's great that we've got more local films out on the scene. And local is lekker. It is. It's great.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, so speaking of local is lekker, we need to get to our first guest, Wandi C, who is hanging out in the chill room. We're going to get her into studio to talk about Isibaya, about opening up the industry, and all her other projects that she and her goals as well. And we'll talk about film as well. So that's all coming up. But should we check out some music?
Absolutely.
Here's a little bit of the new song from One Republic. It's called Wherever I Go, right here on The Buzz.
The Buzz on CliffCentral.com.
Jason, Jen and Nikita hanging out with you for the next... How much longer are we here for? Who cares? Long enough, hey? No, it's not. It's never long enough.
It's never long enough. I always love being with you guys. And it's great fun to have the three of us together.
Yes, it is, definitely. Mm. And I'm also excited to welcome into the studio someone who is burning up the TV screens on Mzansi Magic at the moment.
Oh, I love that, Jason. Mm. Say it again.
Okay, again. She's burning up the TV screens on Mzansi Magic, channel 161 on DSTV. Her name is Wandi C. You'll see her in Isibaya, but right now you'll hear her on The Buzz.
Cliff Central.
On CliffCentral.com. Welcome to The Buzz.
Thank you guys for having
Welcome.
Me.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
How you doing, Wandi?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm very good. Had a busy morning, but I'm all good.
Were you shooting today?
No. I had a couple auditions, request auditions. So, yeah, I know. We're trying to do the thing, man.
Request auditions. So, let's talk about how auditions go, because obviously there'll be an open call or an open casting.
Yeah,
so some people, like TV presenters or idols or whatever, that's that sort of audition process. Then you've got one where your agent will tell you that there's an audition that you should probably go for.
Yeah.
And then there's a request audition.
Yeah. Where they specifically want to see if you can act a certain role.
Which means they have
you in mind
for something.
No, for sure.
Very nice. Yeah. So you're at that point now.
Well, yes, I am. And it's weird because I've only been acting for, what, 6 months? I'm not really an actor per se. I'm more presenter than acting. I didn't know I was that good at it. But hey, here I am.
See, you've discovered this, you know, really special talent. I think it's pretty amazing, actually. You're born in Durban North.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Joburg just 6 months ago. Just 6 months ago.
Just six
and you've
months
done
ago, I've been
so
living here.
Well.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it's been hard. Like, I wasn't even planning on moving. But the only reason I moved is because I got Isibaya. So it made sense for me to come here and shoot from here as opposed to just keep bobbing back and forth. And I felt like I'd reached the ceiling in the entertainment industry back home. You know, there wasn't much that left for me to do there.
And now you've opened up a lot of doors for you. I mean, you're the journalist, aren't you? Mobile?
Mobile, yes. The journalist.
And you're Mpiyaki Zungu's latest love interest.
Yeah, jeez. What a guy to get kickstarted in the industry with.
That guy. He kind of like died and came back like a million times.
And
he's like everywhere.
He's like a zombie on that show.
He is.
He's Stefano De Niro.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, I was in season one and Zungu, of course, was around. And I was the crazy Chinese chick that had the business dealings with Tumisho Masha, played by Jackson.
Jen.
And Iris, played by Mampo Brescia, hated me. And I also got arrested a couple times in Yonda and all the guys, you know. I had a little affair
crew,
with Jabu, which was
Jen.
Played by Palance Ladla. No, this is
just
so, this
him,
is in
yeah.
the drama series.
Jeez,
it's like a whole... Yeah. So now, you know, this is all you.
So what does Mobile do then?
She just kind of stirs up trouble, opens up old wounds and asks questions that people don't really want to answer, you know? Mm. She's the one that kind of... people in the community aren't really a fan of her because they feel like she's too brutal when it comes to the way that she documents the stuff that she does. She always asks the things that you're thinking, but you don't really want to ask because you're afraid. I mean, the taxi industry is dangerous.
Yeah.
But she just goes in, and I think it's because she knows she's got Biake Zungu by her side, so nothing's going to happen to her.
So we always have to ask the question because you have to get into character in some way.
Yeah.
Are you like that as a person? Are you quite fierce? Are you quite direct, forward, you know, ask the questions?
I wouldn't say forward, but I definitely say direct, definitely confident, definitely fierce, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but she's just too much. You've just got to go to a place where you're like, okay, you know what? I'm doing it, and I'm doing it this way because she'd do it this way. Yeah.
So she comes to life through you as well,
yeah,
I suppose.
No, it's been a hard one to play.
Okay.
A very hard one to play.
But you've been playing her for 6 months now.
Yeah.
So what's the response been like? Because, I mean, you know, Isibaya trends all the time. It's a very, very popular show. I mean, I remember when Isibaya started.
Yeah.
I was working with Mzansi Magic and, you know.
Yeah,
I,
we went to the we actually went to the home of where they actually film it.
Where
remember
they film
that?
It, yes. In Soweto. Okay. And it's, I was doing the social media. So I started the Isibaya hashtag and you just see all these, the response and how authentic it was in terms of the storytelling and in terms of like how closely linked to the Zulu culture it is. The language that is used is not Joburg Zulu, it's like traditional Zulu.
KZN Zulu, yeah. No, it was something that's very fresh. When it started, I think it was the first soapy on TV that was strictly Zulu. And like you say, not Joburg Zulu, KZN Zulu. Mm. You know, and that was something fresh and people loved that.
And that's perfect for you, right?
Yeah,
you
are perfect.
Perfect KZN Zulu.
You know, it's so weird because people think it's so easy for you to just... It's a different story when I'm having conversations in Zulu with my friends as opposed to translating a script and having to actually say the whole thing in proper Zulu, no slang whatsoever.
And the script comes in English, right? You actually
English,
have to translate it into
we translate it ourselves.
KZN and Zulu.
Goodness.
Yeah, you translate it yourself.
But it's shot so beautifully
day's
as
work.
Well.
Yeah,
all in the day's work. How often do you shoot?
Well, it depends. If they're focusing on a different storyline, like at the moment they're focusing on my storyline because of the new family that's just come into play. So I'm there pretty much a lot. But I know last year they were doing Jessica Nkosi's storyline, Kondi. Mm-hmm. So I was really on set. I was on there like once a week. Sometimes I go for like 3 weeks without shooting and back again, which is nice. I'm loving it because I'm getting to do all sorts of other things, you know?
Also, what I find interesting is that you said you kind of reached your ceiling in KZN back at home, and then you got this opportunity. How did you figure out that you were an actress? Or how did you know that this was something that you wanted to pursue?
You know, I'm so lucky because I'm with Munyin, and Munyin as an agency is forever pushing you, especially if she sees that you've got something that you don't necessarily see. So she always knew that there was some acting there in me. And she'd always send me for stuff and obviously take me to coaches and acting coaches and things. So when she sent me for this, she knew already that I'd get it before I even knew.
Okay.
So when she got the news, she was like, well, duh, what else were we expecting?
Meanwhile, you're like,
amazing.
I know. Yeah, I didn't even think I did that well.
What did you do?
Well, I had an improv audition. So you either have a scripted audition or an improv audition. Improv audition, they'll give you like a scenario and they'll say, okay, well, act it out. How would you respond to this certain situation? Whereas a scripted audition obviously is a script. So I had it with a guy who's a veteran in the industry, which was intimidating.
I'm sure.
Lutuli. He played
Lamini.
On the... Yes. He played on the road and...
he's been in the coconut. He's done a whole bunch of stuff there.
He's done so much. So he was... had the improv audition, he had to be my father. So we just got into it and it ended up being an emotional scene without us actually having... You know, because of the stuff we were talking about, and you've got to search and dig deep, wonk, 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 whatever. And that's how they love that. They love the fact that it was just so natural and it happened so naturally without even me trying to have it happen.
Amazing. That is incredible. And then they just said, okay, you've got the part.
Yeah.
You got up and moved. Moved to Joburg.
Siyabonga Twala. Are you kidding me?
Sure.
Are you kidding me?
Wow. Sure.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing.
Look, on the one hand, it's really flattering to be, you know, put up alongside those really, really talented actors. But at the same time, like, you shouldn't take away your craft and your talent as well. Not to say that you are, but I'm just, you know, you're on that level. You should see yourself on that level as well. So
yeah,
I think
no,
that's
for
incredible.
Sure I do.
Yeah.
For sure I do. I just don't think I've navigated the woods quite as much as them. And that's only because they've been around the game a lot longer. But yeah, no, I definitely feel like I deserve to be there, you know?
And in terms of giving back, I mean, are they really willing to help you with stuff that you need help with, or, you know, some guidance?
Yeah, and like without it sounding very cliche, but they are a very giving cast and they're actually very, very nice.
They're amazing.
They're very, very nice people. And most of the scenes that I've had, they've been very, very patient with me, you know, and kind of having do the cuts and show me how to do things a little bit differently because they do understand that this is my first acting role. And they've been very supportive in that way.
But they film quickly. They do a lot of scenes. Very quick. Very fast.
Yeah, it's very fast.
Yeah, compared to some of the other soapies, I mean, I would say Spire, really, they move quick from scene to scene. So you really need to know your roles and your lines well.
So when, I suppose it's a daily soapy, so it has to kind of move quickly. Mm. But how often do we, so if you're filming now, like today or next week you're filming your scenes, when do we get to see those then?
Probably in about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a fast turnover time.
That is really quick.
In about 2 weeks, yeah.
And the production value isn't compromised or anything. It's still right up there.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think everyone's just kind of gotten used to the routine. Okay. You know? That it's no longer a thing. When you obviously speak about it, it sounds pretty intense. But when you're on there, you don't even feel it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do they pick you up every morning?
Yeah, they do. Ooh, they pick me up every morning. They drop me off. We're treated really special.
They treat the actors very well.
That's very cool.
A full buffet of food and everything.
Yeah, they take care of us really well out there.
Okay.
They're very good.
And now you said you're auditioning for other shows or other projects.
Other stuff. Yeah, I'm just wanting to expand like my production experience. Okay. I feel like Bomb has spoiled me so much. And I only know how they work because I've only ever worked with them. So I'm trying to see how other productions work and I'm trying to get other production stuff. You know, I'd love to get in on a couple movies and see how that goes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And different genres as well. I mean, would you do comedy?
I would do comedy. You know, people don't think I'm funny, but I think I'm really funny.
You know, Make a joke. Tell us a joke.
Well, that's the worst way to find out, Jason.
Yeah, the worst. Putting one on the spot.
I would never be able to tell a joke on the spot. But yeah, no, for sure I'd do everything. Except musicals. Because I do know that I can't sing. I can't lie to myself about that.
Let's put you on the spot.
No.
I think we should put Jason on the spot.
He auditioned
for Idols.
Twice,
I mean,
what?
Listen, there's a video on Facebook
is making the rounds. It's going viral. It's Jason going singing viral. What? The Backstreet Boys?
No, it's me singing Jigga from Mikasa.
Oh, well, look at that.
Oh, Jason.
Jigga, my baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made my day yesterday when I watched it.
God, I'm blushing, guys.
I'm gonna have to check it out. Yeah.
Why are we talking about me? It's about you, Wendy. It's all about
you. Were trying to put me
on the spot. What happens.
Exactly. See, talk about putting people on the spot.
I know. Okay, cool. So there's a lot going on for you, and we'll definitely see a lot more of you.
Yes, definitely. I'll probably be back here because you guys are amazing.
Oh, stop it.
Amazing.
Stop. So where do we find you on the social networks?
Well, on Twitter, I'm at 1DC1. On Instagram, I am 1DC. And I've got my own Facebook page called The 1DC Lane.
The 1DC Lane?
Lane. Okay. Yeah, The 1DC Lane.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what does 1DC stand for?
Well, my full name is Wandile and my surname is Khamane. Mm. So Wandi is half of my full name and the C is just the beginning letter of my surname.
Ah. Yeah. There we go.
Very nice. I like your watch. I had to say it on air.
Thank you, Jay.
We were talking about watch big faces.
Yeah.
And I'm a big
fan. I love the big faces.
Hey? I'll
show
you.
If you saw my watch collection,
then
you'd
die. Yours.
Yeah, mine's also a sports watch, obviously, but we should compare notes.
Yeah, we should. And like
buy the 1DJ collection.
Collaboration.
I like that one.
You see what I'm saying? Anyway, Wendy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I had so much fun.
And, thank you so much.
Keep asking those difficult questions on Isibaya.
I'm going to do it for you, Jay. I'm going to do it for you.
Thank you so much. Cool. Listen, Nikita, you caught up with the doctors from Botched on E! Entertainment.
I did. I just, you know what? I'm a big fan of the show, so it was very nice to actually have a chat with them.
Have a listen to this.
Hey guys, it's Nikita from Cliff Central's The Buzz. So I just caught up with the doctors from E! Entertainment's Botched. They're back for a new season and I just had to have a little chat and see what we can expect and what is going on with the bromance between Dr. Dubrow and Dr. Nassif.
Yeah.
Very well, thank you. So thanks for taking our time just to chat, sit and chat to me.
My pleasure.
So, Botched is actually a very popular show here in South Africa, and fans are really excited that season 3 will be returning from May 10th. So, what can you actually sum up that fans can expect from this new season?
Season 3 is actually very different than seasons 1 and 2, and there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, because Botched in this country and all over the world has become more popular and more people know about it, we are seeing much worse. really thought it was hopeless and thought they were in a situation where they never could be fixed, now know potentially there's a place they can be fixed. So we're seeing even worse problems than we've seen before, and it's much riskier. And one of the difficulties Paul and I are having is figuring out, because we've had such good success up to this point, where do you draw the line? Who is fixable and who is not fixable? And so we're really pushing the envelope in terms of who we can fix and how risky is it. In addition, we're seeing people from seasons 1 and 2 who we told not to have surgery during the show because we thought it was too risky. They went on and did have surgery, and now some of them are actually coming back on the show with complete disasters because they didn't follow our advice.
So why do you think fans actually love Botched? What do you think keeps them coming back for more?
I think there's a couple of reasons. One, there's a component of voyeurism to the show where we see people who have formerly lost all hope and they've gone way too far with their plastic surgery or have had something really sort of unusual and extreme and bad happen to them. And now they're coming on and there's just a lot at stake. So it's a high-stakes show. In addition, I think part of what we've heard that the reason that it's popular is because people understand that Paul and I have been friends for a long time. We have a very close, what they call bromance between us.
Yes.
And we put all of our skills, all of our experience, and our kind of, you know, warm, collegial relationship together in order to try to help these people, and it makes for a very entertaining mix of situations, and so there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of fun, and hopefully at the end of each episode you see something that's sort of uplifting and life-affirming.
There are so many people who walk into the surgery or into the offices and they have the crazy requests. Like I've seen ones, you know, the one guy, he had the huge, huge lips that he kept injecting his lips. There was the lady who wanted to have the biggest breasts. And I remember watching back that episode and thinking, how can this woman even walk into your office? And you even commented that she was top heavy. And are there some requests that you've had that you've actually thought, oh my God, this person is insane?
You know, that's a very good question, because whenever someone comes in to your office who seems to be extreme end of plastic surgery desires, the first thing you think of is, are they psychologically stable? Do they have what everyone knows of as body dysmorphia disorder, where they're just really not connected psychologically to the way they look? And what are they trying to achieve, and is it insane? The difficulties we see on Box is we have a number of patients, particularly this season, who have had extreme plastic surgery, which we normally would never do, and it's crazy, but they now have problems with it. So it puts us between a rock and a hard place, because if you've had crazy plastic surgery that sort of the normal quote-unquote patient would do, but now you have a problem, should you have more plastic surgery? Well, if the problem is bad enough, then you kind of have to consider helping them, because even the crazy deserve help when they have debilitating problems.
Interesting.
There are a bunch of crazies out there.
Have you ever had plastic surgery, Jason?
No, I mean, do I need it?
Look at us, not yet. But what I will say, when I did ask him about the current trends in plastic surgery, he said little Kylie Jenner is rocking the plastic surgery world with her lip injections. So everybody's been asking for those lips. And obviously it's all about the ass. That's what he said, all about the rear.
The booty.
Yes.
Would you do anything?
Imagine like spending thousands of dollars or thousands of rands on making your butt bigger?
And that's the thing.
Seriously,
just eat a bit
think
more.
About it. Exactly, just eat a bit more.
I remember the
have
time when
more pop and maize. Yeah, I mean,
well, let's put it this way. Do you remember a time when it was like you wanted a smaller butt? Now all of a sudden it's a bigger butt. So
well, that's it. I mean,
I like big butts.
And then after a few years, the trends will change again. And then are you going to change with the trends? I mean, that's the scary thing with plastic surgery. Because if you start,
you can't change.
You can't stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. What's her name? Mshoza.
Mm.
She looks terrible in South African terms.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's hectic surgeries that go wrong. Yeah.
It's too. A little bit, it's an expensive, I think it's, let's put it this way, it's an expensive hobby to have. Because you have to keep up all the time.
So when is Botched?
So Botched is on, it's actually only on a Sunday night, but I think they've moved
after
it to
the Kardashian.
Yeah, so just check your listings, but it's on DSTV channel 124, so on E! Entertainment. So, and you can see more about the bromance. I did ask him how did they actually keep the bromance alive? Because there is a nice camaraderie between the two doctors. And Dr. DeBro just said, you know what? It all comes down to once a week, they have a night of sex and that's it. And I just thought...
Them?
Yeah, the two of them. And I was just like, okay. I don't think so, but it's
what?
Just, it's a joke.
No, wait. Okay.
It's a joke.
That's
it's
quite
a
statement to make.
No,
sure.
But he was very... Well, the clip was a bit long, and then he just threw that in. He's like, no, we have a night of sex, and that's how we bring the bromance to the show. And that caught me off guard, and we had a good laugh, and I just thought, you know what, it would be awesome if we could get them in studio and just have a good laugh with them. Because they have, you know what, they see a more like a light side to their plastic surgery.
I guess, yeah, they have
I don't
to.
Want them coming up and like doing surgery on us or anything. No, I don't know, keep these guys away.
It's a bit weird, yeah. Well, let's bring you on, Jacques.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, and you?
Good, thank you. So, Jacques, how much plastic surgery have you done, like, in the entertainment industry and all that?
Absolutely none.
Yeah,
I
you
don't
see.
Think I ever will. I think I'm quite happy with how I am, and I'm quite happy getting older as well.
Gracefully.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool, man. Well, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Is this your first time on Cliff Central?
It is, yes.
Well, welcome to it. It's Jacques Moulman from Chambers.
Yes.
Fame. We're going to talk about that now. So, what's happening, Jacques? Chambers, tell us about it.
Well, today is quite an exciting day for me. I've just dropped my EP. It's live on iTunes. You can go and get it there. Just search for Chambers EP.
Doing that as we speak.
We have also decided to release a physical version of the EP, which is nice. I received all the designs from Red Flag today, which I'm very happy with.
Oh, wow.
And being confirmed for Opie Copy, which is also cool. So there's quite a lot happening today for me.
Happy Friday to you.
And when is Opie Copy?
Opie is in August. I think it's the first weekend of
always
August.
Always falls over like the long weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got their imagery for this year is the bulldog, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm. So are you going to go rip it up there with the bulldogs?
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
No, man.
Definitely the first part. I'm definitely going to rip it up.
Nice. Yeah. But you've been to Opie Copy before, obviously.
Yeah, this will be my 8th time playing Opie Copy.
Okay.
Mm. Wow.
But this will be my first time as Chambers, which is quite exciting.
So,
obviously, tell us about Chambers.
Okay, so Chambers is a fully electronic project. I'm used to sort of plugging and playing with a guitar when I'm with Shadow Club, but this is... using synths and I use guitar for one song, but I'm using Ableton, which is sort of like a programmed it's software that you use to play backing tracks, and then I play anything that I've synthesized over that, and then I'm obviously singing as well. And it's a one-man show, which is you know, new for me, but something that I've craved for a very long time.
Okay, so the decision to do that, then, was it easy for you to kind of break away from Shadow Club? Is Shadow Club done, or is this just a bit of a break?
We're taking a hiatus. We're seeing how things go. Our bassist has just opened up a really great restaurant in Marvel called Pablo Eggs Go Bar, which is doing very well. And Isaac, the drummer, has just released a solo album as well, which is really looking good. His band's called Blood Machine, so look out for it. It's all over Facebook. They've got a great Instagram profile going at the moment. So we're all sort of focusing on our own things at the moment. We needed a break. We toured nonstop. I think we were touring like we were playing like 3 shows minimum per week for like 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
So it was time to get a little bit of a gap from that for me, especially musically, because you can get stuck in a rut and become too comfortable with playing the same thing and performing the same sort of way. And I was getting bored, I was getting tired, I was getting exhausted spiritually and emotionally and musically and creatively. And so Chambers has been an amazing release from that.
And that kind of transition period, I mean, how long did that take for you to, you know, kind of have that break, but also still get creative and do the stuff that you have been wanting to explore for a while?
Yeah. So about a year and a bit ago, I started, while we were touring, I actually started writing on the road. And then Sony approached me and it became a little more seriously, Paul Thackeray sat me down and said, he's interested in signing a deal. And so once I'd signed it, it actually became a focal point for me. I was working on that if I wasn't touring. And then, yeah, we started releasing singles. We released Morning Love, and then Pascal and Pierce did the remix of Heaven's Got No Place, and then it was on.
And what about the inspiration behind your work?
So I guess I've always listened to a wide variety of music, but when I saw I heard Purity Ring for the first time. Isaac and Louis actually saw them in New York. They came back and they had these amazing stories of their live sets, so I went and checked it out on YouTube. I watched guys like Fantagram, and I loved their setup, just the live stage presence that they have, and the electronic instruments appealed to me because it's such a new place for me to explore. And that was really the inspiration. Something new, something challenging, the way that they looked, the way that they sounded. And I wanted it, and so I went for it.
And in terms of your imagery then, or your look and feel, I mean, does that change? Does it depart drastically from Shadow Club? Do you have
Absolutely, but it hasn't been like, okay, so now I'm doing a new musical thing. Let me change my image according to it. I think the music's changed because I've changed. I've been through a lot in the last couple of months and years. And so it's been a natural change for me to change my image. Has just sort of naturally flowed on after the music's changed and after my sort of character and persona have changed. But I'd say that it's not something I put on. It's definitely who I am right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And fans-wise, what are your fans saying from...
So it's,
are they excited about this? Yeah. You know, because it's a real change, transition.
Yeah, did they transition with you and just decide, okay, we're going on this journey as well?
I've had a mixed response. I've had people shouting Shadow Club at a Chambers gig. And then I've had people coming up to me saying, this is completely unexpected and absolutely love it and can't wait to hear more. So yeah, it's definitely going to be a mixed response because Shadow Club's definitely genre specific. It's blues, rock and roll. That's another reason I needed to get out of it, because it wasn't allowing me to go anywhere else. It was that's what it was, that's what people expected, and that's kind of what I was naturally just doing. And so yeah, it's been a mixed response, but like a lot of positive.
Are you going to do as much touring as you did before with
definitely
Shadow Club?
I think I'll do more. It's gotten quite a lot of traction overseas. We toured as Shadow Club in Russia and Hong Kong.
Such different countries to tour.
Yeah.
It's not your typical...
But awesome. Like,
two completely
very amazing
different places.
But we toured Vladivostok, which is like across the river pretty much from Hong Kong. So they're quite close together. And with Poland picking up the single, there's like four radio stations there. There's four in the Ukraine. Russia's just bought a whole lot of them. So... the Eastern European vibe is there, and they're actually asking if I come from there, which is quite interesting. So there's definitely a tour over there in the pipeline, and I'm definitely, I mean, the EP's just dropped, and I'm probably going to have to be touring it harder than anything I've toured in my life. So
ain't that a terrible
place to
be?
But then when you said you were
burnt
out with Shadow Club, you know, you're going to now be on your own. Like, this is you, yourself, and you. It's even more pressure.
It is, actually. I thought it'd be easier. But you don't have those two other brothers to lean on, you know. They were always there. But it's also very exciting. It's also quite exciting taking this thing on yourself. It's invigorating going to rehearsal on my own, working out how everything works from the beginning, because it's all new stuff. I've never sort of... I started working with the software that I use, Logic and Ableton, like a year ago, and I'm still pushing to get where I'd see myself. And but being on my own is actually really great. It's a constant challenge.
So the EP's out.
Yeah.
That's how many tracks?
So there's 8 tracks, but 5 of them are original and 3 of them are remixes.
Okay. remixes that you've done?
No, no, these are remixes by Pascal and Pierce.
Okay. Pascal and Pierce.
We're looking at Andile from Sony Andile. Music.
Andile, come join us here. Come join us here.
Because he's got the whole track listing.
Hang on 1 second. Let's put your mic on here. Da, 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 and then you can go speak.
Well, the two main remixes we have.
Welcome to the studio.
Hi, everyone. How you doing?
Andile is from Sony Music.
Yes.
Well, I was not expecting this at all.
Yeah, well, you know.
You never know with us.
Yeah, you can tell.
It's impromptu.
Well, the big two remixes we have, we've got the Pascal Pierce remix, which is which we released a few months ago, which did super well. A million plays on Spotify, Russia. Wow.
Just over.
Cool. So that was
worldwide, on Spotify.
And we've just released now another one by Where's My Meds, an amazing young producer from Durban.
So, yeah, very, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really exciting. The EP comes out today. Everyone should get it on Apple Music. It's on Deezer. Pretty much anywhere you can get music, pretty much. And we should have the physical in a few months from now.
Yeah.
A few weeks.
And how do we get you on social media, Jacques?
Okay, so if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @Chambers, A-K-E. So it's Chambers Sake, one word, and in capitals. On Instagram, it's Chambers_music_ZA. On Facebook, it's obviously /Chambers. And follow me because I'm pretty prolific and you can get to know where I'm playing next, any new tracks that come out, etc., etc.
I'm trying to get your track, but the Wi-Fi seems to be down, and you can't access Apple Music when the Wi-Fi is down.
Right, yeah.
Death.
Fun times.
So we'll make a plan, and then we'll play your song.
Okay.
But thank you so much for joining us.
I'd just like to make a huge shout-out to Carl Anderson, my buddy from iTunes. I'd like to make a shout-out to Paul, Rox, and Dile, Nosisi, Craig Massive, Troyden Mewson, Ross Jack, Alex Parker, and everyone that's made it possible. It's been an amazing journey so far, and I look forward to the rest of it.
And this is just the beginning of it as well, which is incredible. And those names that you just shot off there, I know you've got, between all of those, that group of people, you're definitely in good hands.
Totally.
I'm not going to get all soppy.
When you get up on stage, you'll be saying that again when you receive your next award.
Your Sama, or your Grammy. You never know.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Totally.
The world is
your
oyster.
Reach for the stars.
Jacques Mormont, thank you so much for joining
us. Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Buzz on CliffCentral.com.
So just like that, it's 1355. You know what that means.
I know. It's been such a fun show.
It's always been great.
I love the people that come through and, you know, opportunity to chat with them and events and everything else that's happening.
I'm sad.
Why?
Because I just want another hour. Every week it would be cool, just to have.
It would be, actually, because it always goes in a blink of an eye. We always have a lot.
You can come in at like 3 a.m.
Oh, no.
Be yourself, Jace.
Yeah. I'll do the graveyard shift and sing like I did when I was back in the day when I used
Varsity
to sing
days,
on air when I was at Varsity Radio. Yeah.
Did you actually sing on air?
I did. No one was listening. Who cared? So.
There was always like the weirdest people up at that time. I used to have this one guy sending messages into studio and I'd be like, no, dude. No, thanks.
Wooshin. Yeah. Jen, what's happening this weekend?
We've got the Ferrari 488 launch.
Are you driving them tonight?
I think I will be driving them.
Mm.
I've actually been asked to drive for a TV show and like drive like a maniac with a helmet on and everything. And
through
I said,
where?
I need actually 5 helmets. Well, it's a TV show that they, you know, they do like a celebrity challenge.
Are you talking about Man Cave?
Not going to say what show it is, but anyway, so the Ferrari 488 could be one of them. But if you remember, there was a journalist, Melinda Ferguson, who crashed the Ferrari. I drove that Ferrari before she did, and then she took it and she crashed it.
Oops.
I actually didn't crash the Ferrari.
Well, which thank goodness.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But she did. But you know what I love about Melinda? She went and wrote a book on it. She said, "Why I crashed my Ferrari and other things, you know." I mean, it was great.
She wrote a whole book on it,
which I thought was pretty awesome.
What else is happening this weekend? Ooh, well, The Voice, the finale of The Voice.
They are topping
the charts on iTunes and Apple Music, which is really good.
It's
a good indication of how the show's doing and how popular the audience ratings are. So that's really good. So tune in on Sunday to see who the winner of that is. Maybe we'll try to get them in.
And Nikita?
Well, next week I've got TLC's Randy Fanoli from Say Yes to Dress. He's going to be in the country. And I actually said, you know what, bring a picture of your dream dress or the dress that you're going to wear or have worn to your wedding and see his expert opinion.
Tell him to come here.
I know. So I'm going to try.
Come on, TLC.
I'm going to try and see what I can do. Come on, Flashman.
Sort that out.
I'll try and work on magic. Let's get him in.
Yes, we put it out there. We're going to play this podcast, the end of the podcast to them and tell them, damn, you better damn bring Randy in.
I'll do that.
Cool. Awesome. And on that note, we need to say goodbye. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend, Jace, Nikita, Jen, on cliffcentral.com with The Buzz.
We will see you next week. Are you here next week, Jen?
We hope so. Maybe. It could be. In any case, stay tuned for O'Neill. That's up next on cliffcentral.com.
The Buzz on cliffcentral.com.